Seen what?
That star from last night. It's just as bright as it was just then.
Then it's true. A new king has been born in Judea. We must set off at once and worship him.
Okay, boots on everyone. We're heading west.
Come on. Let's go.
This way.
We've got the presents.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
Who were these Magi from the east? Were there three of them? Were there more than 12 of them? Were they kings or priests or wise men? Were they from India or Arabia or Persia? We really don't know. Down the years, they captured people's imaginations, and there are many legends about what happened to them after they had visited the baby Jesus. For example, stories of how they were later converted by early Christians in faraway lands. All we do know is that they were people who studied the stars, and from what they saw, they were able to divine the birth of this baby in Judea. They were astrologers, basically, who don't actually get a very good press if you study the rest of the Bible. But they were right about three things. Firstly, that this special king was to be born in Judea. The star in the sky led them initially to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem, about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Secondly, that this baby was the King of the Jews, which is exactly what Pontius Pilate had nailed above Jesus' cross 30 or so years later. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. But thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, they recognized something of the significance of this young child because they traveled all the way from the east to worship him. They came to bow their knees to the King of Kings.
Your Majesty, your noble greatness, you have some visitors.
Visitors?
Yes,
Your Majesty. Never mind about visitors. Have you got that approval ratings information I ordered?
Yes, I do, Your Majesty. Well,
yes.
It's not good news, Your Majesty.
Oh, it's never good news.
According to the Office of Population Statistics, only 5% of your subjects think that you're doing a good job as the king over Judea.
5%? But that's worse than last month. Oh, and after all I've done for them, I've built their temple, I've let them off their taxes when times were hard, and I've kept the peace. I mean, what else must a man do? I've never been seen by them as a proper Jew. They don't accept me as their legitimate king.
No, that's truly dreadful, Your Majesty. Now about these visitors.
Oh, what about these visitors?
Well, some magi from the east, Your Majesty. They've seen a sign in the skies that indicates a king is to be born in Judea, and I've come to worship him. They're asking where to find him.
A king? A king in Judea? But I am the king of Judea. What are they talking about? And how would I know where to find the newborn king? Oh, I say, I haven't fathered any more children in my old age, have I?
They're talking about ancient prophecies. Perhaps we should ask the temple authorities.
Yes, go and see the high priest and their religious friends. See if they know anything about where a king would be born.
Yes, Your Majesty, yes.
When the Magi arrived in Jerusalem, they clearly had no idea of the politics of the region or of the ruler that they were dealing with. They blundered into Herod's court and spoke words that were guaranteed to strike insecurity and fear into Herod's heart. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Herod had been appointed King of Judea by the Romans. He was only partly Jewish, and he certainly wasn't a royal descendant of the great King David. He had tried to win the favour of the Jews by rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, by reducing taxes in times of hardship, and even went as far as selling his own gold to pay for corn for the people in times of famine. But the thing he cared about most was clinging to power. He was utterly ruthless, and in order to consolidate his position, he had murdered his wife, his mother-in-law, and three of his sons. He listened to the Magi and made inquiries for them, but only in order that he could attempt to destroy the one who had been born king of the Jews. Herod's response to the news of the baby Jesus was fear. He tried to protect himself and his position as king of Judea.
Your Holiness, your grace.
I come with a question from the king.
Oh? Which king is this?
Well, King Herod, ruler of Judea, Your Holiness.
What does that rogue want?
His Majesty has received a delegation of magi from the east who have seen a sign in the skies and want to know where the King of the Jews, the Messiah, will be born.
If Herod were a Jew, he would know the answer to that question, as the prophet has written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Ah, Bethlehem, of course. Of course, Your Holiness. I expect you'll be heading down there as well to greet the Messiah.
Herod's minion shouldn't be so presumptuous. If God's Messiah were to come to earth, the temple authorities would be the first to know. We don't go chasing after any rumour of the Messiah that we hear.
Of course, Your Holiness, of course. Bethlehem, thank you. Thank you, Your Holiness, thank you.
So when I think of the Epiphany narrative, I think I usually imagine three or four magi knocking on the door of Herod's palace and asking about the baby, being given the information and just going on their way. But probably, regardless of how many there were, we only assume three because of the three gifts, they probably wouldn't have come into town quietly or unnoticed. These are probably important leaders of their own religion, in their own country. They probably had a large entourage with them, and everyone knew that they had arrived. In fact, the Bible reading says that Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem too. Going by Herod's track records, which we heard a bit of, the people were probably very worried about what Herod's response might be. In the last sketch, we're introduced to one of the chief priests, representing the chief priests and teachers of the law from verse 4 in the reading. Although Herod was the king of the Jewish people, he didn't know what the scriptures said about the promised Messiah. So he asked these religious scholars of the land, and they were easily able to give him the answer, as could probably most of the Jews who were eagerly anticipating being freed from Roman rule by a much prophesied king. The priests and the teachers of the law quoted Micah 5:2 to King Herod, informing him that the prophet Micah had said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Bethlehem was the place to look. And what is significant, and something I've not really thought about much before, is that although the chief priests and the teachers of the law knew the prophecies about the promised Messiah, and even though a large caravan of foreigners had arrived from many miles away, saying that they believed the Messiah had been born, they themselves make no effort to seek him out. They didn't go with the Magi to see if it was really true, if the Magi really knew what they were talking about. They didn't ask around to see if any special births had taken place, though they probably wouldn't have heard about it that way. They didn't pray and ask God if they'd missed something and missed what he was doing. It appears that they were just completely indifferent. Maybe scared, and maybe just too busy with their own regular religious routines and temple rituals and obligations to find time to seek out Jesus. So, three characters this morning and three responses. The high priests and teachers of the law, unable to see what God was doing, unwilling to accept that faith required anything beyond religious activities and rituals that they were comfortable and happy with. No change allowed. No room for a miracle or for a fresh revelation. Nothing that might take them out of their known world or their comfort zone, we might say today. What an opportunity missed. Herod, well, at least he acknowledged that a new king may have been born, but his reaction was one of fear and self-protection. Any threat to his power or challenge to his kingship had to be got rid of. He reigned, and no one else was going to challenge that. He wasn't willing to submit to anyone, not even to God himself. He was in charge. The Magi, or the wise men, however, had sought out the newborn king. They had gone out of their way and travelled a long way to find him. They'd given up time and money and brought costly gifts. But above all, and despite their own high status and worldly worth, they had knelt and worshipped the child, who undoubtedly didn't even look like a king or a saviour to human eye. But they saw and they worshipped. And so the question is, as we start 2020, which of these responses most resembles our own as we look to the coming king?